Okay. I'm gonna warn our affiliates, we may go long tonight. We have a lot to cover.
About what?
About yeah, what happened? Hey, listen, when Van Jefferson gets signed, it is a big deal and requires a lot of analysis. So we're gonna be here in a while. Van Jefferson's the life and times of Van Jefferson, what he means to human history. Oh my goodness.
That's
Yeah, this
interesting
is
because
not just a
go ahead.
what's that?
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what would you get? What were you saying? I
Yeah,
was gonna say usually this wasn't just one of the craziest weeks in Steelers history. It was one of the craziest weeks in Pittsburgh sports history. The Yager bobbleheads got stolen. Duquesne is going to the tournament for the first time in 47 years.
yep.
Pitt didn't go, even though they should have.
Oh yeah.
This has been crazy. I yeah, but with the Steelers, I've never seen a week like this. Let's just start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning of the week. So we recorded last week, Monday night. Tuesday, first we get the news that the Steelers signed linebacker Patrick Queen, who was with the Ravens. And we talked about this a little bit. And I know you mentioned it. You said, like, as a wish list. And I never considered it at all because I figured, that's not what the Steelers do. They don't go out and get the big name free agents. They get the bargain bin. And if they did get him, he would cost too much. He's going to get like $20 million a year or something like that. And they get him for a very affordable amount. What do you think about Patrick Queen?
I mean, that was my high list item because I just thought Wilkinson would have been a nice, but he goes to the Raiders and okay. Queen was my next up. And I mean, wow, not only did we get him, we got him at a great price. So that alone was you made a comment about Van Jefferson before, Van Jefferson, whatever. Usually it's Van Jefferson is our big splash, you know?
Right.
And I mean, we go to Five Below, we pick out our things and we go home. Where the other teams go to Dick's and they go to Macy's and and Nordstrom's, but no, so boom, so that was huge. And really, I kind of thought either this is the end or this is the beginning of what's going to be some kind of very strange tale because we just got done saying okay, like 2 weeks ago, we're like, okay, Kenny's a guy, Fields is not coming here, and now it's Kenny's to lose. He's back in the Matt Canada situation. No more excuses. Then we get Russell Wilson coming in at incredibly even better rate than what we got Patrick Queen for. And at that point, you have Kenny Pickett and Wilson sitting on your paying less than almost $5 million for two starting proven NFL quarterbacks. Then Deontay Johnson's traded. I want to say I called that one.
Yes.
He's
Yeah.
gone. Goes to Carolina, ask me. And then the big one, Kenny Pickett's traded. Justin Fields is here. And everybody lost their, you know what, because Pittsburgh town, he's a Pitt guy. Again, I've said this all along. If you would want to Morehead State or, Albion or nobody would care. Because even in today's press conference, I found it interesting. I don't think it was a jab. He was, I think, being honest. He grew up a Philly fan. Grew up in Jersey as a Philly kid. That was his team. He was never a Pittsburgh guy. He went to Pitt for 14 years, had a good one year, and then graduated, and everybody embraced him.
Excuse
So,
me, that's Dr. Pickett. He got his doctorate here.
yes, right. So, and if you want to wind it back a little bit further, Joe, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about it. What can we talk about on this podcast? A lot of people already haven't talked about. One thing I kind of keep going back about the first podcast we did post the season's over was. Mike Tomlin conference, and we all remarked how different that was. Tomlin starts bringing up all the guys he failed, starts talking about Marquise Pouncey. He's a championship player. I didn't get him there. And we didn't know, is he just placating it or is this something real? I'm starting to think it was something real. And I know he hasn't pulled the trigger on all of these trades. He does has influencer say on some of it. And ever since that Mike Tomlin press conference, Joe, I think we've seen a new Pittsburgh. I mean, because this today was before. Pitt not making it and getting screwed, that's happened before. This thing where we're bringing in two big free agent quarterbacks, a huge linebacker. I mean, Mike Williams is coming in tomorrow. I don't know about him. We can get to that later with his health issues. But holy crap, not yours and mine up until now. Wow.
Let's go back to the Deontay trade, because we did discuss this. And when we discussed it, we debated and we actually differed on this. I said, you have to keep him. He's that talented. He's your number one receiver. You know, for whoever the quarterback is, you need a good receiver to compete. And you said, no, get him out. He has a bad attitude. And you were right. Either he wanted him gone, or the Steelers wanted him gone, or they both wanted each other gone. But they sent him out to Carolina, which is a horrible quarterback situation, a horrible team. And they really didn't. Now, what shocked me was what they got in return. And we were saying, what do you get for a Deontay Johnson? Do you get a second or a third? And they basically just kind of traded him for a defensive back. And, you know, it wasn't even a salary dump. I mean, well, it ended up being a salary dump because they redid his contract. But, you know, they, and I think what they got from, instead of a seventh round, they went to a sixth round or something like that. But it was basically gave him away for almost nothing. But they just couldn't wait to get rid of him. And, you know, as we've seen this week, it seems like there is a change in tone of this team of, we're not putting up with your crap anymore. We're not putting up with your attitude. We're not putting up if you're a problem, if you're a diva, get the hell out of here. I don't care if we give you away. I don't care if we put you in the clearance section of Five Below or something like that. We're done with your crap. And that is a complete change from how they've dealt in the previous few years. Look what they've done with Antonio Brown. They put up with his antics for years, but the talent of Antonio Brown, and they put up with Le'Veon Bell, and they put up with, you know, all these people that had, you know, crazy personalities. But the difference is those people had talent. It was like, we're not going to put up with it with Deontay Johnson and Kenny freaking Pickett.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, I mean, and that just may say enough. I mean, you can sit here and debate exactly what did Deontay do, what did he say, how bad did he ruffle his team. He's gone. And it was definitely to love. If you go back a couple years, he had some very good statistics. It's just been up and down ship with that guy. And the drop passes, they've been showing that all week too. Like, he dropped a lot of passes from Ben, from Kenny, from just about every quarterback that's thrown him a ball. He's had some horrific drops. So, yeah, he's gone. And I'm not sure. A couple people mentioned this week, well, it's because of his influence on Pickens. Well, Pickens was a bad egg coming in.
Right,
he was
right.
a bad egg in Georgia, right? So maybe they thought, well, he was making him a worse bad egg, whatever that terminology is. But he's gone. But the thing was, we agreed on that, but I also agreed that you and Alex had a really good point in that it leaves a pretty glaring hole, because we already shipped out the guy's name we don't remember from the Bears that came here and Penn State, Allen Robinson. And so they're a little bit needy now at wide receiver. So does that make wide receiver the target in a draft? We don't know. I don't think Van Jefferson is, I think he's probably a depth add. There are a couple guys. Mike Williams is coming this week. Mike Williams has missed a decent amount of time over the last couple of years, so I don't know. I think Tyler Boyd could still be an option. Also, in a little bit of a conundrum wide receiver where we were not at earlier. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, Joe, because they also need help at center and help at tackle. Center, they're probably feeling pretty good, because the first center off the board last year didn't go to the 44th pick. So maybe they feel they can, you know, grab a couple guys. But
yeah, but this year is different. You know, and that's one thing that surprises me, that they didn't get a center yet, just as a free agent, dude. Now they're going to have to get one in the draft, and they're going to have to get one of the top ones. So that's going to be very interesting. But Deontay Johnson, you had the drops, which people say, well, he didn't drop that much. He dropped enough. But it wasn't just the drops, just in terms of football play. It was the catch the pass and go 5 yards backwards, and usually 99 times out of 100 get caught and go for a loss. And like, it almost never worked, the running backwards thing. It was so infuriating. But then it's the dang attitude. He got into a fight with Minka. He, the play he took off, like, I think against Cincinnati, maybe, where the fumble was right at his feet, and he just walked on by.
Didn't block.
And then at the end of the season, he basically declared, he threw his hat in the ring and said, I want Mason to be the quarterback. Now, in hindsight, he was speaking the quiet part out loud. I think he wasn't the only one that wanted Mason as a quarterback. But, and this is his last year of his deal. So he knew that he wasn't coming back anyway. So either he asked for a trade, or the Steelers wanted him gone, whatever, bye. Even if they didn't get much for him, just bye, go.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing. Not finishing the blocks, and then having some other teammates call him out. Like, well, I would have finished a block for him, you know. And I mean, like you said, it really does take, believe it or not, folks, in this day and age where people do wear their emotions on their sleeve or their Twitter account or X or whatever, it still takes a lot of unmitigated gall to say which quarterback you're choosing for next year in a locker room in front of the media like that. Like, if maybe you do believe in Mason, that's fine. It's usually kind of keep it in here, right? And right. For him to just, here you go. Just, you know, and I don't in Kenny Pickett's defense, it was a crappy thing to say. And so, you know, but Joe, you wonder how it adds to it a little bit. Like, these guys don't believe in him. I'm not so sure the Steelers really believe in him. And that's almost a more interesting story to me to Deontay is, I think all of us, a lot of us were probably more okay than what people realize with Kenny getting back, at least getting another shot. But, you know, in his defense, man, you bring in Russell Wilson, and that was kind of it. And then, like, I don't think he even got to see them bring in Justin Fields at the same time. So, like, Kenny, you were going to be a third place QB, even though we told you you're going to have a shot at it. So, but the thing that's weird about that, Joe, is you're not going to Philadelphia and replacing that guy either. You're probably getting less playing time, because I think you hit this on the head too, talking about you were right about something. You said a couple podcasts back, he's going to play next year. He is going to start a few games, guarantee he's going to get his up. And I felt he still had an opportunity to maybe even show, like, okay, they're bringing in Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion, multiple Pro Bowls, our man of the year. I beat him. I show I earned it. And he didn't want that. You know, he I saw you put a couple things up about being a crybaby, and a lot of other guys did too. So, yeah, he just and you wonder if that's that Deontay Johnson attitude, Kenny Pickett attitude. Maybe you're right, Joe. Maybe they looked at it as a whole and saying, don't like Deontay's attitude. Don't like Kenny's attitude. These attitudes, see ya. You know, there's a door. We'll find a way to get rid of you.
The Kenny Pickett thing is just amazing, unbelievable. Friday night, I almost went on a rant. I almost did my own podcast Friday night. I was so damn tired that I didn't, but I was just so angry. So apparently this is what happened. When apparently he was when they brought in Russell Wilson, or when they signed Russell Wilson, apparently they told Kenny, well, he's the veteran, so he'll get some first team snaps or whatever, but I don't know if they promised him the job or whatever the heck going on. And then, you know, Kenny found out that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter or get the number one. I don't know what, but he was mad about that. Apparently he had a session. Kenny Pickett had a session with the wide receivers, which is what quarterbacks do in the offseason. They all get together. They all throw the ball, try to get on the same page, blah, blah, blah. And when he found out Russell Wilson got signed, he canceled that. So that was one thing. He was just mad about the whole situation, and he asked for a trade.
The other thing that came up too, which, boy, Joe, I don't remember the media going at each other like this, but the whole thing about him refusing to dress in Seattle resurfaced too, as a problem, maybe a bigger problem than what he realized the team had with him. You know, because you have kind of a, it seemed like the majority of Pittsburgh media believe that's the way it happened, but there's a few naysayers that say that didn't happen. It's baloney. I never even seen the media, Joe, go at it like they went at each other about this Kenny Pickett thing. I mean, it's really, when I say unprecedented, I don't remember anything like this. I mean, I guess I remember Cordell Stewart, right? There was some, controversies with him in the past, this, that, and the other thing, but nothing like this.
Okay. So, whenever the Kenny trade happened, before the Kenny trade, we had the Russell Wilson press conference, which we'll get to. But before, right as the trade was announced, I'm trying to find out exactly when that was. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon, something like that. 2:30, 2:45, something like that. When it was announced that Kenny Pickett was being traded, about like 5 minutes later, Jerry Dulac of the Post Gazette, who is very well connected with the Steelers, very well connected, we believe, with Mr. Rooney, he tweets, "The Steelers made the move because of the way Pickett was poorly handling the arrival of Russell Wilson, according to sources, that came on the heels of Pickett's behavior last season when he refused to dress as the emergency third quarterback in Seattle in week 17.
Yep.
So the way I remember it, when that happened, there was just one person who was saying that he refused, and that was Mark Madden.
Right.
And everybody said, well, came from Mark Madden, who knows if he's telling the truth or whatever. And then Kenny Pickett had that interview, press conference, whatever, where he said, "How dare you say that? Of course I wanted to be out there. Anybody who says that, they're just trying to further their career or whatever. I don't know why how dare they say that?" Turns out that was a flat lie, and Mark Madden and whoever said it back then was absolutely true. Because remember, in that game, Mason was a starter, and Trubisky was the backup, but they had no third, emergency quarterback. No. It's like, why do you go into a game without, and especially in an important game? This is like one of the games of the season to determine whether, because they were fighting to get into the playoffs. Why would you go with it with only two quarterbacks when you have three available? That made no sense. Go ahead.
No, because you're right. Because in times of the past, remember, forget what game Ben was hurt in. And you had, and I think it was either Charlie Batch or may have been the kid from Jacksonville. What the hell is his name? And went to Marshall. His name's escaped me.
Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, they basically said, okay, Hines Ward, you're the designated, quarterback, and actually took, because they knew it wasn't going to be. And so, they had all these plans. They went into that game with really no plan at a third big quarterback in case something happened to Mitch, which just does not happen in the NFL. So I tended to agree with Jerry from the beginning. It's not that I can't blame Kenny, but he's frustrated. He just doesn't want to admit it. I whatever it is, but I think that's what it was the whole way along. And I think, again, that added a little salt to the wound. And I think they came to a meeting, Joe, probably, I guess, early January, and they said, look, what's the biggest problem? Mike, you just got done doing this conference. You wore your heart on your sleeve. You said a lot of things. What are some of these issues? And I think Deontay's name got thrown out there, dropping George Pickens a little bit, and I think with these things Kenny did out there, I'm worried about Kenny. I like Kenny, but what he did, how he did it, I'm worried about his stability going forward. Because to me, you don't make any of these moves if you're totally confident Kenny Pickett is your starter. You just don't. At least somebody didn't have that confidence, whether it was Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin. Somebody didn't have confidence in Kenny Pickett that had a lot of pull, and now he's gone. He's in Philadelphia. Because Kenny made it very easy. I don't want to be here. I want to go somewhere else. Okay, that's all you had to say. Because I don't. If he would have said that, Joe, I don't know. I don't know. But the Steelers obviously wanted to go in a totally different direction. It wasn't like they brought in Gardner Minshew or they brought in, you know, somebody like that. They brought in legitimate starters. One's a Super Bowl champion, whichever way you want to look at it, and however long ago it was. So I think that seed was there for a while. You know, and if you're blind to that, if you don't want to see, I think it's at this point you just don't want to. So, you know.
Now let's go back to the press conference Russell Wilson did around 1 o'clock, something like that, on Friday afternoon, which, by the way, I whether he succeeds as a quarterback or not, I'm loving the dude. I'm really impressed with him. I want to run through a wall for that guy. You can tell that he is a polished, you know, yeah. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer just because, you know, he broke the mold. Before him and Drew Brees, a small quarterback just didn't exist. And for him and Drew Brees to succeed is amazing, because there are limitations. Size and height does matter in a quarterback, and he overcame that. So he's a Hall of Famer. But he's been doing this forever. He's polished. He was awesome in his press conference. But what blew me away was when he said, "Yeah, I talked to Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward really tried to get me. And I talked to Minka. We talked for a long time, and he really wanted me. He recruited me here. Talked to TJ Watt. TJ Watt really tried to get me. Your own teammates, the leaders of the team, are actively trying to get someone else. I've never heard of this before. That is the largest vote of no confidence I've ever seen in a person. They basically, you know, because those guys, they're not, none of them are young. You know, Cam Hayward, how many years does he have left? TJ is in his prime. Mink is in his prime, but they're not exactly young. It's like, we can't have another year wasted by horrible quarterback play. We're going to take this into our hands. We're getting a damn quarterback ourselves.
Yeah. That's also a real good point on all of that too. Like, and I think that had to be something that, you know, because you can say all you want about Mike Tomlin, he's still very connected and knows what his team's doing, what's going, the ebbs and tides of the team, how to feel the team. I think that was all very evident. You know, all these guys are, you know, out there recruiting him. And then what killed me after that was he signs, and then you had like Patrick Queen going, "Yeah, dog, I'm coming to Pittsburgh too." And he's like, "Yeah, baby." And like, there's like, it's some other guys coming to Pittsburgh. Like, it was like, I mean, Kenny had to feel like I don't know. I mean, there is a part of me, it's like, oh, that's just painful. You know? So yeah, I mean, that was the writing on the wall. And the only thing was, when Kenny left, Deontay's gone. I'm sitting there looking like, they have a hell of a lot of money to spend here. It wouldn't surprise me at this point if they didn't talk to Fields, because nobody else was. The Bears were hoping for all this stuff, weren't getting it. And now I think what they can say is, "Hey, we'll give them up. You can have them. Now we can fully concentrate on what quarterback we want to get in the draft this year."
That was the prevailing thing. Let's say, okay, obviously, what are we going to do now? We only have this guy. We got to get, and for this point, we got to get Justin Fields.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I'm the first one out there saying I'm not real happy about those 68 turnovers. It worries me to death. But I think one of the most often spoken or written missed terms or way overused terms is, well, he just needs to change environment. I think that's, to this point, it's true at some points, and most of it's not. I think Justin Fields might be a guy that needs a change of environment. I mean, he could be a kid that could actually blossom being here. I don't think a lot of organizations could do that. I think this is one of them. I think I'll give them credit. I think Baltimore's one of them. I think there are a few places you can go where you've had a rough shot, had a lot of turnovers, didn't perform well, didn't perform up to your whatever your expectations, and a place like this can maybe bring you back and resurrect you. So I know there's no scientific proof to that, and you can say I'm just being a yinzer, but I think places like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Philadelphia, they seem to be able to take San Francisco. They're able to take kids, Kansas City. Kansas City won a Super Bowl last year with basically crap wide receivers, but they're able to take somebody, reinvent them a little bit. Boom. Look at Jerome Bettis, right? Had a great 1 year with the Rams, was not working out. Looks like Jerome Bettis is probably not going to pan out with his NFL career, and boom, comes to Pittsburgh. Not a bad career.
The organization. It's the environment. Yeah. That matters a lot. That matters, you know.
You know, I don't want to be that guy, but there are other organizations that do that well, and we happen to be one of them. So, yeah, here we go. And it's probably, Joe, to your point, last week, it's probably frees them up, it probably puts them drafting a quarterback somewhere in that fifth or sixth round. You know, I bet you they might take a shot at a quarterback, and hey, if it works out, it works out. But so now everything – I don't know what the hell's going to happen next week when we meet. For all I know, they'll trade T.J. Watt to, like, you know.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, anything is possible. For LeBron James, who knows?
LeBron James, the wide receiver.
Yeah. But let's go back to the Justin Fields thing. So we talked about this many times on here, and we both agreed, I don't want him. That's exactly what you don't. There's no way the Steelers would want a guy that turns over the ball when they're a no turnover team. So yeah, it was surprising. And yeah, you just hope that a change of scenery does him good. But when we were also talking, what would you give up for a Justin Fields? You know, you want to give up a second. That's too much. Maybe I think I said like maybe a third or fourth, maybe that. I think that's what we agreed. And they got him for a ham sandwich, a sixth that might turn into a fourth next year. My God, Omar Khan, I'm calling the cops. You that's grand theft larceny. The man is stealing from the NFL because he's robbing them blind with all these deals. What they spent like $5 million on their quarterback room right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have two legit. They have what I mean by this is because I know Fields has struggled. They do have two legit quarterbacks who can say we've been successful starting quarterbacks for longer than a few games and are paying them $5 million combined. I mean, who the heck else can say that? You know, the other thing too, and all this stuff that happened swept under the radar is they got a pretty nice safety in Deshaun Elliott. This is the guy that made big headlines last year because he absolutely destroyed running backs left and right, including the new guy that just went from the Titans to the Ravens, NFL Hall of Famer. Why is that name escaping me? Holy cow. It's been a bad Monday.
Derrick Henry.
He put a tackle on him like Donnie Shell and Earl Campbell days, right?
Wow.
So that's a guy that's going to help out with a run, a weak point for them over the last couple of years. So, I mean, that's a great ad. I think the punter from the Texans is a great ad. You know, so, I mean, they are really – I can't remember being this happy or more impressed by the Steelers in the offseason than I am now. I mean, I told you last week, and I don't know if I'm wrong now, but you have to go back to probably Kevin Green as a big splash free agency acquisition. Jerome Bettis was pretty big too, but Kevin Green had just come off like a 15-sack, 16-sack season. You know, and we know what that happened with him and Lloyd, and that was just such a great combo for a few years. They have never made splashes like this ever, Joe, and it just kind of keeps on coming. They've been smart signings, things we need. We needed a new punter. We needed a safety to stop the run. He went out and got one of the better ones at that. So the guy they got back from Deontay Johnson, depth add, very, very fast, very fast. But isn't very good against the run, gets burned a lot because of his speed, because he overcommits. So, wow.
But he was on a very bad team, so maybe being on a better team will make him better. I don't know.
He was on a bad team. And Patrick Queen, Joe, I mean.
Oof. That was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is. And now, I mean, I think they are now back to that. They should be playoff bound. They should be a contender in the AFC North. Do I think they're going to the Super Bowl yet? No. But they're a hell of a lot closer than they were in December.
Here's the other weird thing. I don't know, weird, or maybe that's just how it is. But it has been made very clear that Russell Wilson is a starter and Justin Fields is a backup. Like, there is no doubt. It has been made very clear. Justin Fields has been starting for, what, 3 years now? And it's like, yeah, you're the backup now. And apparently he wanted that. Apparently he wanted to come to the Steelers. Okay. I just thought that was...
I agree with you. 100% agree with you. The only thing I'd say on the flip side is you got to wonder, will there be a quarterback battle in camp? Now is one thing. It's still March. When we get to August and July, what's going to happen then? You know, what if it's noticeable the chemistry he has with the new receivers they bring in and Pickens and Muth and everything? So, I mean, who knows? But maybe you're right. And he did talk about, you know, taking a little bit of a backseat for a minute and you know, maybe rejuvenating himself and doing some of those things in that interview. So, yeah, I mean, it's that's why I say it's unprecedented. I don't almost know what to say. I know we said a lot here in the first half hour, but in a way, I don't know what to say because it's like they've never done anything like this before.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see them both play at the same time.
Yeah. I think you will. I think it goes back to if it was Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson, I think you were going to see them both. So now you're going to see them both again. Well, not Kenny, but yeah, I mean, who knows? There's some decent free agents left out there. There's some wheeling and dealing left. Who knows what the heck they're going to do?
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Latrobe just got a lot more exciting.
Oh my God. I might be there every day, man. I can't wait to see this.
Me either.
Heck, I'm going just to see if Sierra's going to show up. Maybe she'll share a popcorn with me or something. I don't know.
The interesting thing, Joe, I don't know if you picked up on this one. The Steelers, I don't know what the reason is. They traditionally do not or refuse to give out the number one to players. Now Justin Fields is there, and he can say, you know.
Well, the numbers are just outrageous. I mean, Patrick Queen is going to be number six.
I know.
Hey, Bobby Brister. I was going to say, is that Bobby Brister's number?
Here come the Brister jerseys. I'm telling you, they did it with the Bobby Maddox jerseys. They're getting the Bobby jerseys out.
Somebody has a Bobby Brister out there. They're just going to put duct tape over it with the word Queen.
Yep.
I hope whenever he makes a tackle, they play like Another One Bites the Dust or some Queen song or something like that.
Ooh. I like that.
Maybe God Save the Queen or something. I don't know.
Yeah. All of us in Bohemian Rhapsody in the third quarter.
Yeah. This is just amazing.
Have you followed him on X on Twitter?
Not yet. No.
Oh,
no.
You got to go. I mean, he got into a massive brawl with Baltimore Ravens fans. They are losing their ever loving minds over this. And they're taking it out on him. And like, he was like, STFU, you mother, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he gave it to Ravens fans like you wouldn't believe. Oh, it's phenomenal.
All I saw was the end. He's like, I'm done messing with you people anymore. So yeah. Whatever. I did like, and I really like Lamar Jackson. I know that's a horrible thing to say. I just think he's a really good dude. He repeated the Saquon Barkley thing. He's like, you're dead to me, man. Something like that. You're dead to me now or something. But yeah, it's amazing. Actually, I follow Russell Wilson now. Darren's gone. Okay, this would be a good time. I think he's coming back.
I'm back.
Okay. I want to get back to Kenny. And the whole reason I was so angry and I wanted to go on a rant when it happened. Who in the bloody hell does that dude think he is demanding a trade because they got someone else. You've brought up this stat before. He is basically statistically the worst quarterback in NFL history or something like that. What was it? Touchdowns per attempt or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's worst in history. Maybe I think like one other person is just as bad as him. Who in the bloody hell do you think you are to demand anything when you sucked so bad? My daughter, who knows nothing about football, who does nothing about sports, she put her best, is like, but he's not good at his job. What did he expect? He just wasn't good. And listen, we follow this very closely. We've been doing this podcast for a while now, and I know you're a lifelong diehard fan. So am I. And we follow it very closely because we do this podcast every week. Watching games with Kenny Pickett as the quarterback was painful, frustrating, infuriating. I was so angry even when they won because it was just so ridiculous. It required for and people that cite Kenny Pickett's record. Well, look at his record as a starter. Most of those wins were because he didn't do a damn thing, except maybe like one drive in the fourth quarter or something like that, and the defense carried the team. And we relied on, remember that first Cleveland game where it's like we needed like four turnovers and Deshaun Watson being an idiot for them to win. That's how they won games. That's not sustainable. And that's what we had to put up with. And the minute that Mason Rudolph showed up, and actually all he did was perform as a functional offense, it was like a breath of fresh air. And the entire team saw that. But where does this dude get off saying, I'm mad because you brought in someone else and I might not be the starter? Like, what the heck? Where do you get off, you entitled brat?
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it seemed like every week he started, you were sitting there like, I had to say I would as if it was a second stringer. I didn't have that first string confidence in him that, you know, most fans didn't. But that's the thing, like, you know, the reason the Steelers weren't picked to do well last year is nobody really believed in Kenny Pickett. Like, I'm talking about the media types, you know, national media. They weren't giving us it was in respect because they didn't respect Kenny Pickett. And you can say all you want about that Kenny Pickett haters, because haters, if you don't like Kenny, you are dead to them. You don't know anything. You're stupid. You're a moron. You know, I mean, just horrible crap. It's like Nazi Germany or something. Just awful, awful tweets I've seen from these fans about if they, you know, they're big on Kenny. But they just can't get out of their own way and realize that, like, nobody's really liking the guy or has confidence in the guy. He didn't, you know, exude confidence. And all the excuses, it's Matt Canada, it's the offensive line, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and obviously and you talk about, like, what T.J. Watt said and Hayward, his own teammates didn't see it, Joe. I didn't feel it any Sunday that he played. They didn't feel it. It wasn't like he – and to all your point, it wasn't like he won – NFL Rookie of the Year. It wasn't like he had a stat saying, hey, he had touchdowns per throw of any rookie in NFL history. He didn't have a great relationship or good stats with one receiver or another to make him stand out. He had nothing to go back on and say, hey, look what I can do. Look what I've done. He has none of that. None of that. And I don't care who you place blame on, 25 games, he had none of that. So you're right. You don't have a lot to stand on. Now, you can come in and say, you know what? I'm going to fight like hell. I'm not going to say a word. Fine. Bring Russell Wilson in. Bring you one in. I'm coming out number one at La Trobe. It's going to be me. I'm going to guarantee it. I'm going to prove it to you. That would have stuck with me. Instead, he's going to bitch about it. Now he's taking his ball and gone back to Philadelphia. Go.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And then in his press conference today, he's like, yeah, I handled that right. What the hell are you talking about, man? And one thing about the discourse online, it is nasty. His defenders are nasty. And I'm talking about, I have friends that have said, that have like put out tweets about Kenny Pickett, and they got death threats. What the hell is going on that you're issuing, you're threatening anything against somebody? I know, anytime I post anything about him, people call me names and stuff like that. Like, are you kidding me? You're defending him, bro. Look back here. I bleed bit black, blue and yellow. I have been a diehard fan all my life. When they drafted Kenny Pickett, I thought it was a wonderful thing. I was like, yay, that's great. You know, we got our guy and stuff. Now I hate his guts, and I hate his guts because I saw him play and I saw him get worse, not better. But this crap about people,
yeah,
just you know, getting into fights and threats and stuff because you tweet something that you don't like the guy. What the hell's wrong with you people?
I saw one idiot tearing at Ed Bouchette because, you know, Bouchette made a comment about enjoy Philadelphia, whatever. You know, kind of snarky, but not too disrespectful. And they tore into him like, you're a failure. And Klutz like, okay, let me tell you something. Here's a guy
who... Ed Bouchette's a Hall of Famer, okay?
Hall of Famer. And he, you know, someone blasted him, a guy I know, and he's not that bad of a guy. I guess he's just mad because he's a Kenny Pickett loyalist. Blasted him about, oh, you couldn't get LC into the Hall of Fame. That's not Ed Bouchette's fault.
That's not his problem.
That's not his fault. He's tried. He gives a great speech. He does everything he can, you know. But there, like you, we've said this on multiple times in this show. There is Steeleritis because guys like LC Greenwood should have been in long ago.
Yeah.
Damani Dawson longer than it should have been. Hines Ward should be in there. You know, I mean, that's just all of that. And so yeah, and that's what I mean, Joe. I mean, you're taking shots at Ed Bouchette. I mean, you and I do our thing here. We do our
He's
thing.
A legend. He is a legend, one of the greatest ever writers to ever do this.
We're two yinzers that fight over how you should put cheese on a pizza. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's the dividing line, right?
Exactly.
It's just, yeah. So, I mean, in a way, I'm almost glad Kenny's gone because maybe they'll go with him, you know, and just – whatever, move on to something else, guys. And it does bring up, I saw this, which this was interesting to me. A couple discussions on, as a Penn Stater, as a Pitt fan, do you want to see a Penn Stater or Pitt fan go to the Steelers? And you almost want to say no, you know, because if they do bad, it's like, you know, I loved him so much in college and I hate to see him struggle in the pros. But, you know, Franco Harris did pretty well. Tony Dorsett did pretty well. Unfortunately, it wasn't for the Steelers. So,
you know, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so yeah, so that's the bad part about it. They fail miserably and they're a high pick and it's Penn State or Pitt. It stinks. I get that. It's kind of a pride thing. Yeah, I get it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the tweets were very funny. Somebody tweeted, "Very happy for Kenny. Very glad he will be away from this toxicity. It will be good for him in the long run." Yes, so glad he left the toxicity of Pittsburgh to go to that wonderful utopia of Philadelphia, because they're all about peace and love in that place. Nothing bad has ever happened in Philadelphia.
No, man, that's just a church going good folk there. Batteries and snowballs. There's a prison in there.
If Kenny Pickett actually does play any games for the Eagles, they'll be throwing so many batteries at him, he could open up his own Radio Shack with how many batteries that guy is going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like these guys that wish for that. Like, I mean, if there's Philadelphia and then like New York, along the New York media in particular, like you better be good because you're going to get lambasted in New York or Philly. Those are the two cities where
high pressure.
Are absolutely unrelenting. I mean, just Boston's up there too, but man, you listen to like sports radio in New York, if you're ever driving up there and it's like, oh my God, like this is like R-rated. You know, we got the Fan and we got, you know, Madden and DVE in the morning there, and they're all pretty good guys and they take some shots, but it's pretty jovial or somewhat harsh, but respectful. Not there, man. And it would be the same way in Philadelphia for Kenny Pickett, Joe. I mean,
oh man,
it doesn't matter,
man,
if you're wearing your Kenny Pickett or I forget whose jersey has on. Did you see he released that jersey he had on as a kid growing up in Philadelphia, an Eagles jersey on? Well, dude, it doesn't matter. I mean, because if you suck, yeah, they'll burn that picture in effigy.
You didn't want to compete against Russell Wilson, who is, what, 36?
Yeah, so, coming off a better year than people give him credit for. But yeah, it's not like he's 26. You know, he had 2 years ago, he had a bad year at Denver, but that was the worst head coaching hire maybe in professional football history. That wasn't good. And I think when you go away from a team that you were so endeared in Seattle and so entrenched there, the first year you go somewhere else, other than unless you're Tom Brady, it's always a bit of a struggle, you know, whether it, you know, think that was, some of that was Russell Wilson's fault, some of it was Denver's fault. But last year, you know, he was eighth in passing efficiency. He was a top 10 quarterback last year, whether you want to see that or not, you know? So the Steelers are getting a guy that's actually coming off a high note. And you hope that he has one or two of those years left in him, Joe, because I don't think there's much more than that. He has one or two years left in him of 20 plus touchdowns and, you know, single digit interceptions. Good signing.
Well, that's good the signing. Question now. Now you got to think about the future, because we thought that Kenny Pickett was the long term, you know, the heir apparent. Even when they got Mitch Trubisky before the draft, they thought, you know, nobody thought this was going to be the guy. They thought it was just going to be a bridge guy. And then they get Kenny. It's like, oh wow, we got our long term solution. And the dude left. The dude was gone like quicker than almost any first round pick ever. I think I saw Jermaine Stevens was the
Jermaine
only one
Stevens that the last one that lasted this didn't last that long, three seasons.
So now what do we do? You know, I've heard talk of, well, they're already talking about extending Russell Wilson. It's like, the guy has one foot in the grave. No offense, but, you know, he's towards the end of his career. I know he says he wants to play another 5-7 years. Every quarterback says that. Oh, I want to play until I'm 40. Well, yeah, that's what you want and what Father Time tells you is going to happen is two different things. And then you say, okay, well, what about Justin Fields? We have this young guy. What about him? By May 2nd, they have to decide whether to exercise the 5th-year option on him. The 5th-year option on quarterbacks is like $25 million. I highly doubt they're going to just automatically pay $25 million to a dude that really hasn't deserved it yet. So that's not happening. I could see working out a deal with one of them, but is either of these guys going to be in the mix for quarterback in 2025. See, every time Darren leaves, I think, you know, did I say something, or did he have to go to the bathroom?
I don't know what it's been the last 2 weeks. I apologize. I'm the internet expert, which is you on this show. It's my wife.
Yeah, really? I'm the IT guy. So
I'm gonna
come to your house.
Low bandwidth. But
yeah, 2025, what do you think? Do you think either of these guys are actually in the mix for you know, the long-term quarterback solution?
I think Russell Wilson might be the better of the two, only for the fact that I really do feel like whatever happened in Denver, he has a legitimate guilt a little bit about that. Now last year, again, a good year, a very nice year for a quarterback. I think he'd like to go out on top. And I think a Pittsburgh team, whether anyone else listening outside of Pittsburgh, sorry, but it's true. We have a huge fan base. Maybe Dallas is the only thing comparable or bigger in merch purchases and TV viewership around the country. There's other great fan bases, so don't get all pissy with me. Cleveland, Philly, we love you too, whatever. But this would be a place where if he's able to take the Steelers to any legitimate amount of success, he would love to go out on top doing that here. You know, he saw Tom Brady do that with Tampa, takes him to the Super Bowl, right? I think he'd like to do that. I think he has legitimate reason to be here and want to succeed here. He doesn't want to end on a sour note, because you're right. Is he a Hall of Famer yet? Probably. He's a Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. He's a Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl, one-time winner, probably a two-time winner if that stupid play they call it. Probably a two-time Super Bowl winner at that point. So, yeah, he's probably a future Hall of Famer. If he could somehow take the Steelers somewhat far, maybe to another Super Bowl and they lose, whatever, we hope not. I think he has an investment, Joe, in Pittsburgh right now, because he knows that they will be invested in him.
They both have a lot to prove. Russell Wilson has to do some major reputation rehabilitation. You know, he was the man in Seattle, And I don't know whether you heard this rumor or not, or I don't know how people believe it, but that he's kind of hated in Seattle because there was a report or there was a rumor that he tried to get Pete Carroll fired. It was basically, right. He basically did a power play and said, it's either him or me. So they're like, okay, so get the heck out of here. We'll stick with the coach. So he goes to Denver and you think, oh, I remember when they sent him to Denver, because Denver was like a good team that needed a quarterback. It's like, oh, they're one piece away from quarterback. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. And it was nothing but a complete disaster that first year with, like you said, that coach that doesn't belong working at Taco Bell, let alone the NFL. Then, you know, and then, yeah, and then he's with Sean Payton, and you think, oh, okay, well, that's a better coach, and that just didn't work. So, and now, you know, the last indignity is the Broncos decided we would rather get an $80 million cap hit and destroy our team than have you on this team for one more minute to get out of here. So
thank you for that $34.7 million, Denver.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. You know, and then Justin Fields has a lot. He has to prove that he's an actually good quarterback. His winning record is horrible.
Yep.
You know, and yes, he has done some good thing that I did not see his running ability, because I think he's basically one of the best running quarterbacks ever. The way that dude can take off. Lamar Jackson's amazing, but Lamar Jackson is more like a little bit slower. It's like, I'll run you over or whatever. Justin Fields is like, I'm basically, he's like faster than almost any running back. It just, he just takes off and he's amazing.
And he doesn't do the spin-a-rooney into an
argument. No, he does not. He flies by those defensive guys. So Justin Fields has a lot to prove too, whether he could be a viable quarterback in this league. So who knows what's going to happen? It's just crazy. And then who knows what's going to happen? Who's the number three? I think they will draft someone, and that could be the future. Sure. Who knows?
If they didn't bring in Fields, I think you posted this like a week ago, and I loved it. I thought, okay, you bring in Tannehill. Now, yeah, okay, our quarterback stable is now becoming the Statler and Wardrobe for the Muppets, but still, you know, they're there. But no, now that you brought in Fields, I think you're right, Joe. Now you go get a quarterback in a draft. Again, it's probably going to be mid-round level. But there's no more you can see, I guess, Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. There's not much more of an intriguing quarterback conundrum than you do in Pittsburgh. I mean, you have, unless Aaron Rodgers agrees to run for vice presidency. Now, that would be, for guys like us, that's fantastic. Because I would love if he was vice president, because then you have to stick like a Secret Service guy in the backfield who had to actually shoot oncoming linebackers to protect him. Now, that's story. That's the news.
There you go.
Other than the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, all eyes are going to be on Pittsburgh. And I think Russell Wilson and Fields realize that. They're not stupid guys. Like, all eyes are on Pittsburgh now. We had this stable of quarterbacks, and they're all gone. Like, again, we're talking about unprecedented, folks. So, I mean, okay, yeah, this guy goes here. Joe Montana goes from the 49ers to the Chiefs. Well, we have Steve Young. No. We just said total, you know, it was like a Madden game. Here you
wipe
go.
Wipe it out.
Yeah. You know, remember how what they always call it? Andre had the what the Gorilla Monsoon call that? Like the brush hit, like the whatever he used to call it. Because Andre would grab you and just, you know, whoom. And that's what we just did. We did the Andre the Giant, you know, back and forth. And so, yeah, it's just fantastic. It's going to be, hopefully for the better, so much fun if they succeed. If it goes south, it'll be another story. But I think that Russell Wilson, I like to believe that he's invested in the city and what's to do, what he wants to do here. And you got to give the guy a chance. And we gave Kenny Pickett a chance. Didn't work out. So, you know.
How amazing is it that you have a Walter Payton Man of the Year on defense and offense? I don't think I've ever heard of a team that has two of those dudes. That's amazing.
It really is. And I think that was the thing. Like, I have my aunt. She lives in Seattle. She has all her life. And she messaged me, and she said, you have no idea what a kind man you're getting. Because she's like 77, and she's been a nurse for, like, all of her life. And then she's a volunteer at the hospital. And she said, you don't know how many times this guy, I have seen him personally, stay after the cameras leave and stay with the kids' wing. He'll go down to the senior wing with the amnesia patients like this. He is a legitimate good guy. It hurt me to just what you said. It hurt me to go see him go to Denver and go through all that and whatever he did, personal struggles, whatever. I just didn't. That's not the Russell Wilson I know. And I know who he is and what he can be. So I think it's going to be a good fit. I think he'll embrace the town. I think the town will hopefully embrace him. But you're right. The other aspect of this whole thing is you have this guy over here that's now backup. And he has this tremendous upswing in talent, and he's very, very young. What is he, 24, 25?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like I mean, whew, you know, man, it's
– yeah. Who, by the way, was like the number 10 or 11 pick in the draft when he was drafted. So you got a guy with a high pedigree that could just – if he could just figure out, you know, the turnovers – You might have something there. You might have your long-term guy for the next 10 years. Maybe.
I'm not going to hide from it. I said what I said, and I still stick by 68 scares the hell out of me. But, You know, the Bears don't exactly have a great coaching carousel there. They aren't known for development. They're probably one of the worst teams in the NFL over the last, you know, 15 years. You know, even when they went to that Super Bowl against the Colts, nobody thought they were going to win that Super Bowl. Give me a break. So, look what they did with Mitch Trubisky. They couldn't develop him either. You know, first round choice, they misjudged him and he shuffles him off to Buffalo. He comes here. Now he's back to Buffalo. So they couldn't develop Fields. They don't know how to develop players in Chicago. You know, they never got him a decent offensive line, anyone that could block for him, a receiver that could catch him. We know, cause we sent one there. For a legit stupid, you know, great return for us, bad return for them. Yeah. So again, of all the guys, of the two guys, I think he may have the biggest upside, Joe. He may really come here and flourish in Pittsburgh.
Very possible. I just wonder what prompted all this craziness, all this, because this is so un-Steeler-like for them to be making all these bold moves. It's either Rooney basically said, guys, enough is enough. Or it's Omar Khan really feeling himself and really coming into his own. He's like, yeah, this is my team now. I don't know. I think Tomlin has a little bit to do with it too. I think with everything that happened last year, I think Tomlin kind of saw his mortality because, you know, with Steeler fans, there is always a contingent that says, fire Tomlin. Tomlin's the problem. We're never going to win with him. You know, we haven't won any playoff games. All he does is, you know, worry about being over 500. We're never going to win with him. But last year, those calls were very loud. And I think he got the message like, oh crap, I better get this quarterback thing right. Or I better get this thing right because I think people are starting to lose patience. And when Mr. Rooney, the first thing he says is, I am tired of this situation. I'm tired of losing, not even winning a playoff game. I think he's getting the message like, oh crap, I think my time here is short if I don't get this together.
I think it's two guys who got the message that you just said there. So it's Tomlin. I go back to what I said at the top of the hour here was that, you know, I think we saw a very raw and real Mike Tomlin in that final preseason press conference. Interested to see, because we won't see him again till most likely till the coaches meetings at the end of the month. You saw a very raw and emotional Mike Tomlin. We've never really seen that before ever. So that's why we know it's probably genuine and rare, you know, for sure. But there was a lot of people in the last year or two, including myself, and you're right, I'm one of the guys who have been on Tomlin, where a lot of people are making remarks about, since Dan Rooney passed, this team isn't what it used to be. That, you know, Art the third, right, or second, isn't as connected or isn't as involved as Dan was. And that was something that kind of started little and got legs this past year from a lot of people. You know, he saw that. And maybe you're right, Joe. Maybe he saw it. He's like, okay, wait a minute. They're saying I'm part of the problem. Maybe I am. And maybe, you know, that's what I'm wondering. After that press conference, I loved to have been a fly on whoever's wall it was in the office there at Acrisure. It said, you know what? We need to make some changes because this isn't working at all let's go and tell me about what's not working. And I think to your point, again, this is where we talked about Deontay's attitude, Kenny's attitude, who does the players on the team currently believe in? Then we need to make some changes. And because they didn't just get up one day, Joe, and say, let's go get Russell Wilson. Let's go get Justin Fields. Let's go get Patrick Queen. This is all we're going to do. This is definitely what we're going to do. No, this has been thought of since probably Super Bowl halftime or before that. Right.
But I don't think the Kenny thing was planned at all. I think they just wanted to bring in Russell Wilson.
Right.
It's like, hey, we need a lot of talents here. We just can't put all our eggs in Kenny's basket. We need to have some other options out there. But I don't think they expected Kenny to be that petulant and that much of a baby about the situation. And it's like, really? This is how you are? Okay, fine. You want to go? Go. We'll get rid of you.
Or conversely, Joe, they may have said, let's bring him in and see how this kid reacts. They could have said that too. And boy, did that come out. You know, then, you know, Kenny put his all cards on the table. Like, and you're right, to your point. Who are you to say, oh, okay, yeah, you're gone. You know, so very short leash right now in Pittsburgh.
There's something that Bill Cowher always said, adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. And the minute that Kenny Pickett had a little bit of adversity, a little bit, where Mason Rudolph was playing ahead of him, he started acting out and started being a baby. And now with this Russell Wilson thing, he really started acting out. It's like, oh, is that how you really are? Because one thing that was touted about Kenny Pickett was his character. He's a leader. My goodness. And remember another thing. This is what I know we talked about this. At the end of the season, when you interviewed all the players, who wasn't there? Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
He's a captain.
Yeah.
He's a captain. And, you know, oh, another thing that came out, apparently in the press, they called him Coin Flip Kenny. And the reason they called him that was because the only time he would show up, like when he was hurt and stuff, he would still go out there for the coin toss at the beginning of the game because he's, you know, the captain and he's supposed to be number one. And remember that whole controversy about the depth chart? Oh, yeah. The depth chart, you know. Apparently that was because to soothe Kenny's ego. My goodness, what a petulant baby.
Yeah, no matter which way you look at it, whether you love Kenny Pickett and you're hating all this right now, or whether you didn't and you're loving all this right now, or you were a Mike Tomlin hater and now you're maybe whatever, they're making changes at an unprecedented rate to try to make this work in a new way. And that's the one thing that you all have to agree on, whether you like it or not. Because like you said, our dads are sitting there, you know, I know if your dad were sitting next to my dad, I'd be like, huh? They did what? With who?
Right, right. Like the, you know, Steelers?
That? Yeah. No, I mean, it's, yeah, we're doing the same thing, you know? So, yeah, it's really going to be, I feel like it's going to put the Steelers into a point where they're going to be a very successful franchise again very soon and start winning playoff games and making a run at the Super Bowl, or it'll all fall to pieces, and then you're in a total rebuild, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But at least they tried, you know? At least I would rather have Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, if they crap the bed, if they fall on their face, I'd rather have that than freaking what I saw from Kenny Pickett for most of last year, which just – it was hard to watch games. It was just hard to sit through that. It just like even when they won, I was angry and frustrated. Like, I don't want to do that.
And I think you and I were different games. I don't know if we were the same game, but I mean, when the boos came, I never heard boos in my life like that at a Steeler game.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I guess I wasn't old enough to witness it, but you know, with the whole Bradshaw and you know, Jefferson Street Joe and Terry Hanratty thing, maybe back then, I guess there was, people said. But boy, man, I mean, Steeler fans were vocal, you know. And I think when Tomlin, that first time it happened, Tomlin was like, we know, we appreciate our fans are passionate. No, we're not passionate. We're pissed off. And so the boos only got louder after he did that at the corresponding games. And I think that was in response to him kind of saying, oh, yeah, you're passionate. No. There's a difference between passion and being pissed off. And the fan base is pissed off. And a lot of people are hanged off. And that was, I think, the result of that press conference. And we saw where he got a little emotional. You know, all this stuff. You win. He hit that milestone during the regular season. And, you know, the national media were like, yeah, great. But the local media and the local fans are like, it's not that great. It really isn't that great. You know, and he, I don't care what Mike Klonen does, what kind of cloak he likes to wear. He's heard it. He knows it.
Oh, he hears it all. Yeah. He says he doesn't. That's a total lie. He hears it all,
right.
Which was very funny. Speaking of lies, because what did we hear from Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin? You know, the last time we heard from them, we have full faith in Kenny Pickett. Tomlin was asked, he said, is the starting quarterback of this team on the roster right now? And he said yes, but he didn't say yes right away. He paused a few seconds and then he said it. And people are like, Now, of course you're going to say nice things about Kenny Pickett, because at the time he was literally the only quarterback under contract. But what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Pull a Deontay Johnson and say, no, actually, we want someone else. Like, you have to say nice things about the dude. He's literally the only one you got.
Right.
You know, you love the one you're with. But, wow.
Yeah.
I just never saw this coming. Trading your first-round quarterback. Wow.
You know, and that's the other thing, too. There's that certain faction of the media that said, I was one of them, the Steelers are too proud to admit they made a mistake. They'll never admit they made a mistake. They did. So in that vein, I was wrong. And so were a lot of other people who said they would never do that. They did. So that's why it's just like, crazy, just unprecedented stuff all over the place. Quarterback situation, coaching situation. It's like they did a rebuild without doing a rebuild. I don't know how to really put my finger on it. It's like, I don't know. They didn't just do a typical Pittsburgh where we just kind of fill the pothole and then it cracks up a little bit again and we got to fill it back again. Like, they went and repaved the whole street,
yeah.
You know, and it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was week one of a free agency.
That's right. Yeah,
who knows what's going to happen this week? 5 minutes from when we get off, it'll probably be some other crazy thing going on.
Yeah, they'll have T. Higgins and
Justin Jefferson.
That's missing teeth. I don't know.
They've cloned Jack Lambert. That's right. The next thing.
Right, it's like Jurassic Park. They found a mosquito. It was tucked in his neck pad. And yeah, so
yeah, it is. This is just insanity. And we'll see what happens. Just stay tuned. We said, oh, there's really no off season. There's always interesting things going on in the off season. Yeah, they're not playing games, but stuff goes on. But my God, I didn't think it'd be like this.
I'm telling you, we need. I've said this for a few years now. Now we really got to do it. We literally got to. Just go get a hotel room and do a live Jonah Bang.
I would love to do just a live broadcast of the draft.
From the Trobe. I don't care if we sit up on the hill.
Oh, man. How much fun would that be? Just
it would
do
be a lot of fun. You get Allison and Leanne to fly up. It would be.
There you go.
It'd be fun. Go. Yeah.
Good night, Sharkies.
Yep.
I was going to Sharkies, but there's another place, that other restaurant that's real.
Dino's is really good.
Dino's. That's where all the big shots hang out.
I remember they were there once, and it was Antonio Brown that had the Rolls Royce. And you don't see a lot of Rolls Royces outside.
Not in La Trobe.
Not in La Trobe. This was Arnie back in the day. No, and here is like this gold plated, like gold out of Goldfinger, you know, James Bond Rolls Royce sitting in the parking lot of Dino's. And who is he in there with? Arthur Motes, and who else? But it's like, you go to Dino's when they're there, and there's the Steeler guys everywhere. And you better get there quick, because it gets full quick. So yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And I just, like you said, I'm sure it's not over. There's probably somebody else coming. The draft's coming up. I can't remember being this more excited for Latrobe than before.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. Because, I mean, Russell Wilson is, you know, he's a legend. He's you know, Super Bowl winner. You know, when was the last time we had a Super Bowl champion as a quarterback besides Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
David Woodley.
Right. Right. Well, I remember Kevin Green talking about how, I forget where the Rams used to do their thing, but they would go to some local little posh hotel resort nearby where they used to do their camp back when all the NFL teams did camps at like universities or offsite places. And he talked about humbling himself by going to stay at St. Vincent in the dorms and Latrobe. Now the dorms are fairly nice there now. But I mean, I think Russell Wilson, that's another thing he's probably thinking, like, hey, I'm going from having my own office at Mile High, and now I'm going to stay at a dorm room in Latrobe. We were there.
Oh, my God. I hope he knows about that. He might change his mind.
Everyone told him. Yeah, you're going to St. Vincent College and staying in a dorm room. I'm going, what? Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget. We were there one day, and we had, like, my little Liam, my son. He was probably – I have a picture of him and me and Joe. I'll send it to you or post it on Twitter. He's, like, two. We have my niece, who at the time was probably 7 or 8. And we got there real early because my brother-in-law is an alum at St. Vincent. So we had like this alumni thing. We got some special, you know, breakfast and whatever. It was for the Chuck Noll 5K when they used to do that. And they don't do that anymore, unfortunately. So we're there real early. And Antonio Brown comes busting out of the dorm. He's got a cell phone. He's wearing nothing but a shower or a towel around his waist. He's on the phone. He's not swearing or anything. He's on the phone talking. So he's got a towel around his waist. I have Liam here, I have my niece here, and my brother. Oh, there go the Funkos. My brother-in-law there, and we're just like, and Antonio Brown's like turned around, like, "Yo, what's up, guys? I don't have anything to sign this with." And he goes right back in. But that's the kind of stuff you see at Latrobe.
Please hold on to your towel. Please, hold on to your towel. Do not drop that towel.
Yes, yes,
yeah. But
that's the kind of stuff you see in old members of the media and. I won't say it. I don't get too much detail because I'll get emotional. But the last time I was there, I went to the tree that I that me and Tunch we used to go hang out by this tree and talk a couple of times. I have a picture that I have it here, and but just seeing Tunch, you know, and just I hope Russell Wilson, some of these guys are coming in and realize how special that is because the Steelers and I think the Packers. And maybe the Browns. I don't know. There's some of the
very few teams still do that kind of thing where they go out, they go away from the stadium and away from their stuff, and have a
look which Funko fell. Poor Kenny. Sorry.
Wait,
he fell down with the Undertaker. That is symbolic right there.
There's no Undertaker return to Kenny's career. I'd rather have Paul Bearer as the quarterback than Kenny Pickett. That's out. Oh yes. Oh, my Kenny Pickett. Oh. All right, man.
Yes, Joe. Good time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. It was very cathartic. I'm glad I got. We had a lot to talk about, so I'm glad we all cut it off our chest.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good show. Great Steelers.
All right. Yep. I'll see you.
See you, buddy.